Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started.
Dear Lord, thank you again for your goodness. And Lord, it is a beautiful morning. And Lord, it is wonderful we can come and freely worship you, study the Word of God together. And Father, I pray that you'll open our hearts, give us understanding, Lord, as we go through this this great book of Romans. And Father, there's some deep truths, and Lord, there's truths in the Bible that due to our sinful nature, it's hard to accept a lot of the things in your Word. And Lord, yet that's your Word, and that's what you want. Help us, Lord, to realize that, and help us, Lord, to have a desire to try to come under these rules that you have, you know, as far as how we treat our government and stuff like that, even when things are not what we want. Lord, just open our hearts and help us, Lord, just to grow. And Lord, again, just to be serious. Lord, that our faith would show to others. And Lord, just help us to be real Christians, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I did not want to get up this morning. I'm working about a half a brain here this morning, so bear with me as we go. I was a deep sleep and that alarm went off. Okay, we are in chapter 13, and we started with verses 1 through 7, and we're just kind of going through a little bit of an introduction before we get into it. But let's go ahead and read Romans 13, 1 through 7. And who would read those? Get the right page. Okay. Who? Delbert? Okay.
Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Attending continually to this very thing, render therefore to all their due taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. And again, I keep. Yes, sir.
Hate to interrupt, but I feel like I have to.
Go for it.
I want to apologize. I made a mistake last Sunday. And I misinterpreted my own note. I didn't misread it, I misinterpreted it. It's the word right. And I said, this first verse there where it says higher powers, I said that they were right and they were, can I read my note? Might. That's might and right. And I said that the powers were right, meaning correct, and my note doesn't mean that. It says right, but it means that they have the right, not that they are correct and right.
Okay.
They have the right. And so I just wanted to make that clear. I misinterpreted my note here. I wrote right down, and I gave the wrong definition for right.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean that they are correct, those higher powers. That word doesn't mean it. I do think the context makes it pretty clear that God's powers are should be correct and right. Not that they are. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Thank you, John. All right.
Sorry about that.
Okay. You know, again, I've been grappling with this thing. Okay, when we came into here, of course, I work ahead, so I've been through more of this book of Romans. And in my own mind, I was convinced that the colonists were wrong in rebelling against the government. And I think, and bear that in mind as we're going through these verses here in chapter 13. Now, that was my feeling. I'm not saying I'm right. That's just my opinion. You know, we all have an opinion. And so, and John gave that definition last time, and it kind of rattled my cage a little bit there. And I'm thinking, whoa, maybe I need to rethink this thing, you know. But anyway, but as you're going through these things, it's talking about, well, I'll just let the scriptures speak for themselves. But I guess I still, anyway, I'm kind of leaning toward the thing that they were wrong. When you take the whole, and see, we got a long ways to go yet in this, talking about dealing with the government and stuff. But keep in mind, I could be wrong. They might be right. I mean, you stand back and you say, you know, okay, for the moment, let's assume they were wrong, okay? But God has a way of taking, you know, rebellion, I guess, and he's able to turn it around and turn it into a blessing. And the United States of America has certainly been a blessing. You know, well, it's been one to me and to us. but anyway, it's just, but we are really supposed to follow them. And we're going to talk a little bit about some very wicked rulers. And yet God doesn't back away. He doesn't say, if they're doing evil things, you still obey. You still do it. I mean, that's what we're going to be covering this morning. So I'm going to be quiet and stay on my notes, and that way I don't get off on rabbit trails here. So anyway, we are to be, as Christians, and this just leading up to it, we haven't got to verse 1 yet. We're about ready to here. But as Christians, we're to be busy living godly lives as the conscience of a nation and preaching God's word. God wants us to be more interested in obeying him, setting his word, than he is interested in politics. That's what he wants. He wants godly living from us. That to be our number one priority. And then these other things follow after that. And not starting revolutions and protesting and making trouble. We're not to be troublemakers, folks. We're not. And we ask, well, where's the justice going to come from? You know, if you've been robbed or harmed or whatever. Okay, yeah, again, it's the role of government. That's what we already covered that in chapter 12. But to mete out retribution, not our job. It's the government. It's the role of the silver government to deal with those who are evildoers. The passage shows us that when criminal things have been done against us, we return love for hate, good for evil, and the government will take care of the proper recourse against the bad guys. That's basically what the scripture's saying. The Lord establishes a basic principle in verse 1, and it is this, it's civil government. Verse 1, you know, it just says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God put them there. Did God put Joe Biden where he is today? Yes, he did. You know, did he put Hitler there? Yes, he did. You know, God could have stopped Hitler, but he chose not to. He allows it. You know, again, everything's got to slip through the fingers of God. And that is such a comforting principle to me now. In whatever form or whatever rule or rulers, it is to be obeyed and submitted to by Christians. A Christian has a duty to his nation, even if his ruler is a Nero or a Hitler. Our self-sacrificing to the Lord, and this is all goes clear back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. This whole section here is all about Christian, you know, living and duty. We should not be known as protesters. We should not be known as those who lambast, criticize, and demean people in authority. Ouch. I've said some bad things about people that I think make lousy decisions today. So I'm trying to clean up my act a little bit. And, I'm trying to clean it up, but God's got a lot of work to do. So I get so frustrated with our, you know, but that doesn't make it, that didn't make it right, okay? However, since Christians know that Scripture teaches against abortion and teaches for capital punishment, what is wrong with getting involved in an orderly, lawful manner to try to get these things changed? Should we get involved? What's the answer? Yes. 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 You know, when things, we see ungodly, we should be fighting against abortion, folks. We should be fighting against the homosexual thing. God hates homosexuality. God wiped Sodom and Gomorrah off the map for that very thing. You know, it's no question as to what God thinks about this. He calls it a sin. And we should not be condoning and endorsing things that God is against. If there's a referendum with people, if there's an opportunity to vote, if there's an opportunity for you to articulate your view on something, to apply the right kind of pressure, we need to do it. We need to do it. A lot of times they say Christians need to get involved in politics to try to get in there to change it. And me and politicians aren't on a real good term right now, and for most of them. And I'm thinking as far as me getting into politics, I cannot think of a worse thing for me to do. Anyway, scratch that. I didn't say that. All right. We should speak against sin, against injustice, against evil, against immorality, fearlessly and without hesitation. And we are to give honor to those who are in authority over us. Give them honor. This is a biblical pattern for every age and every Christian and every Christian. This has nothing to do with America. Okay? America didn't even exist when all this was written. Christianity is a total life experience. It touches every element of our life in thought, word, deed, and relationships. Nothing is left unaffected by the transformation of the Lord Jesus Christ in a life. It changes everything when one becomes saved. And so Christian living is not divisible. It cannot be isolated from any other part of living. The priority for us is not politics. It is not social structure. The priority for us is godly living. And folks, it should affect every area of our life. And we need to strive to be growing and doing better and better and better. So that's kind of an introduction into verse 13. So now we go to verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. All right, there's a principle. It's unqualified. It's unconditional. Every soul means every individual. We each have a very precise duty. Let's be subject. Be subject to the higher powers. That's the Word of God, folks. I'm here to teach the Word of God. I'm not here to offer my opinions. Let's be subject, that little phrase there is a military term. And it means to line up to take your orders. So when it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, okay, we're supposed to line up and take our orders from the government and obey and follow the rules. Let every one of us get in line in submission to those who are commanding us. And who's that? It means the authorities which are over us. The text makes no distinction between good rulers, bad rulers, fair laws, unfair laws. And I've been studying this now. There's nowhere does it make a distinction. We are called to submit. We don't like to submit when we don't agree. And for us, it isn't that difficult, really, because our laws, for the most part, are just. And it just seemed like our laws are becoming more and more unjust. I mean, when I was a kid, laws were seemed like it was just. You know, I mean, they were out to be fair, to be right. You know, good was good and wrong was wrong. But today, it's getting turned around. And, I mean, you see the... Anyway, I had a thought, but I'm going to... the government, they rightly represent divine truth. God put them in that place, and they're changing fast. But the matter of fact is, we are to submit. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I kind of wish Royce was up here teaching this stuff so I wouldn't have to be going through this. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And who'd read that for us? John?
I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior.
Thank you, John. Okay. We're to be praying for all people, it says. But I mean, and then in verse 2, it specifies those in authority over us. We're to be praying for Joe Biden. In fact, I've been asking, God, I just wish you'd save a bunch of them people. You know, they just need a good dose of salvation. And their minds are not going to get straightened out until they get that, if they get that. And we're paying for stuff that I don't want to pay for. But I have no choice. Pay your taxes. Good leadership or bad leadership, pay your taxes. God wants us to live a life that is peaceable. We are to affect society from the inside by changing hearts, not the structure. People get saved, get a good dose of salvation, that's going to turn their thinking around. Sure did mine. But are we to submit to everything without limitation? What's the answer to that? No, not everything, okay? Because they could be telling us to do something God tells us not to do, and vice versa. In fact, we're going to go into that right now. No, there's one limitation. One limitation. And you all know where we're headed, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And you all know what the answer is, but we're going to read it anyway, because I want us all to see it from the Word of God. So we're going to be reading Acts chapter 4, verses 15 through 22. And when we get done with this, stay in the book of Acts. Don't go back to Romans. Stay in Acts. Okay, who'd read Acts chapter 4, 15 through 22? Pastor?
Well, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But let it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, let it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God judging. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Go through 22.
And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And the man was about 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown.
And I meant to say before we read this, and I forgot, this is the very first apostle miracle, okay? And that was a healing of the lame man. When, they said, or no, wait, I'm getting mixed up. All right, scratch that. I'm getting my theology turned around here. Just scratch that. We'll just move on. This happened following the first apostolic miracle, the lame man healed. Now, they have a real conflict, right? The Jews, the Jewish leadership, and the apostles. But I'm getting ahead of myself. This is a conflict for the apostles. God said to them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, that's our command as well. This is the one time we have the right to disobey the authority of the government. This is when the government commands us not to do something God commanded us to do, or when the government commands us to do something God commanded us not to do. Okay? The Word of God trumps the government. Now, there are occasions when we do get involved in things which are political, like abortion and laws related to homosexual freedom and those kinds of things. And folks, there's a time we are to stand up and fight, you know, when God's laws are being violated. We don't do that. And there are times when we want to speak on issues that are very political, like capital punishment and dealing justly with criminals, you know, and so forth. We should not engage in any political activities except for those times when the state is engaged in the things which are spoken of in the Word of God, and God says no. Then we're to get involved. And when we feel they become matters of conscience and immorality, and we have to speak, and folks, we are to speak up and let our voice be made known and say, this is wrong. Those are the only places where we have justification. And after what we just read there in Acts, what did the apostles do? Pastor, would you read verse 31 for us?
And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Okay. Afterwards, they had a prayer meeting, and they rejoiced in thanking God for what he had done. And folks, we need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer. We need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for our leaders. And again, just pray. Just anyway, pray that they get saved, a bunch of them. And if all of our leadership was Christians, wouldn't that this be a different place to live? Have the Holy Spirit indwelling those that's in leadership over us. Anyway, folks, there is no such thing as a Christian government. I first read that, and then I thought about it. Yeah, Christian, you know, governments, they're not Christian for the most, well, it says there's no such, and I guess you stop and think about it. I wrote that down. Maybe I shouldn't have put that in there. That's and again, I'm picking and choosing. I'm going through different things here. But Why don't we just scratch that I said that? There's no such thing as a Christian government. I think for the most part, Christians or governments are not Christian, but I don't want to be so bold to make that blank statement.
Well, I think, we have a government that follows Christian principles and Christian teaching, but it doesn't mean overall it's a Christian government.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bible lays out
okay.
Christian, other than when the Lord Jesus Christ shall rule and reign with the rod of iron over everything, then you got one.
Okay. And we're coming to what you just got done saying. So anyway, but no, I pray to God, Lord, when I'm teaching, I said, Lord, help me not to say things that are wrong. You know, stop me. I need your guidance. I need your help. My sinful flesh is getting away, and I can say things that are wrong, and I need your help. And I mean that. I need God's help to do this and not to say things that are wrong or heresy. Yes, sir?
I wouldn't worry about it because if we're on our toes, we'll call you out on it.
Oh, are you guys on your toes out there? I hope. Okay, very good. Okay. The only Christian government that will ever be is in the millennial kingdom. You got it right. You hit the nail right on the head, Pastor. If our government says we don't care if it is what you believe to be biblical, you're going to be punished for it. You stand up against the government, and the government says we're not doing it your way, we're doing it our way. It's our way or the highway. Anyway, then we have to quietly and peaceably accept that punishment. Ouch. Just as the three Hebrews did when they went to the fiery furnace. They didn't back down. And just like Daniel when he went to the lion's den. Folks, these people did not know they're going to be delivered. They were fully expecting to meet their Waterloo. And they stood up for truth. And if we're trying to stand up for our rights, we refuse to do something, and the government says, hey, this transgender stuff, all this other stuff, if you stand up and oppose that, you're going to get punished. You might get thrown in jail. Folks, we are to stand up and get thrown in jail and take the punishment rather than buckle and buckle under the pressure. That's what God wants us to do. John?
I see a difference in the examples you gave about, I forget what all you gave, the lion's den and
fiery furnace.
Fiery furnace, all of that. They were being persecuted because of their belief in God and their faith.
Yeah.
Some of these things that we talk about our government is not having to do with our faith. For instance, the capital punishment, if we're against it or for it, whichever we are, that doesn't have anything to do with our faith, our personal faith. Other things, if the government doesn't treat criminals right, if they're not punished, that doesn't have anything to do with our faith, personally. I think we're to stand against those things also. We're not supposed to stand against the government. Like you said, we take our punishment if it's for our faith. But if the people in our government, the people have made the government, and if nobody stands up for the wrong or the right, then wickedness will take over. Man's heart will take over. Man's heart is wicked. But I think we're to stand against wrong things. But if they're going to put us in jail for preaching the word of God, we're not supposed to stand against that. we're supposed to take it, like you said. And all those examples you gave were standing against these people worshiping God, their own personal faith. Am I making myself clear? You look puzzled. Would we say that the German people should have obeyed their government under Hitler and not took sides and gone to war, but just take it? When they bombed Pearl Harbor, should we just say, well, let's turn the other cheek, because that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? Be nice to our enemies. No. We're to be nice to our enemies when we're attacked for our faith, for personal things about God.
Okay.
We do good to them that persecute us for our beliefs.
Okay.
But not do good to anybody that comes in and shoots my wife. We're not supposed to turn the other cheek and be good to them.
Okay, I'm getting what you're saying now, John. I'm slow.
Well,
okay.
That's okay. That's easy to get the two confused.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are persecuted for our faith is different than wars that happen, whether we're involved or not,
yeah,
that have nothing to do with our own personal faith.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Somebody shoots your wife, you know, you... So.
Now, if they shoot her because of her faith, it gets a little...
Somebody else want to come up here and take this?
But that, you know, very seldom happens. It happened, Western United States, when the guy come in and was shooting people, and he asked this girl, do you believe in God? And she said, yes, and he shot her.
Columbine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, that is a situation in a situation.
Yeah.
It's a different thing, but she didn't have a chance to say, well, I'll take it. It just happened. I
mean, yeah.
And the government should have done something about it. But the question would be, should that girl's parents have done anything about it? Take revenge on a guy that shot her in a personal way.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to get the law to do it, but should they have done it if they had a chance?
Fine line.
It gets to be kind of a fine line sometimes.
Yeah. A lot of what we're talking about here is. So, yes, sir. I can't hear. I can't. My hearing is no good, and I can't hear you.
If you go to Acts 5, beginning with verse 27, this kind of puts it all in perspective and what you're trying to say, and what everybody should really look to is what the apostles did. And when they had brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men, period. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on the cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Here, let me turn the page. Yeah. Okay. And verse 32, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, is a witness, whom God has given to those who obey him. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and were intending to slay them. But a certain Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. Now, we always have a tendency to say, like you were in Romans 13, it says government, but if you look at the Greek word, it means that the people who are attending of the different functions of government is what is established by God. Okay. But what God intends us, all of us, is like the apostles. When it goes against what it says in his word, which we have, and they didn't have the Bible then, we are to stand. And he will help you stand. But we have to voice our opinion, like you were saying, Jim, and say, no, this is wrong. If persecution comes, take it like a man. But we got to say no. We can't go along with a lot of things. Like you were saying, let's say on taxes. Our taxes are going for abortion. That's wrong. We got to say this is wrong. We can't sit here and continue to abide what the government is placing upon us. And that's what God is saying. The apostle says, we must obey God's law first. And I agree with you, everything what you're saying. And this is a hard subject. I agree with you.
Yeah. Anybody else? Thank you, by the way, very much. Anybody else? Take a look at my enemy up there. We got 5 minutes. Okay, any other comments? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All these comments are good.
That's what I was trying to think of. I'm glad we'll have that right at the top of your mind here. But we just went through 2 years ago in this country and around the world and in this county that we were directed that we have to wear a mask. I shot off an email to the county commissioners and the city commission. One responded with a snarky response, and I could have gotten into debate here, okay, because it saves lives, why don't we change the speed limit to 10 miles an hour once you hit the McPherson County line on I-135, you know, that would go over like lead balloon. But I submitted my email there to them, and I got some good response, but I just asked for, where's the scientific study that you're wanting to do this? Where is the science that says 6 feet apart will not transmit a virus? There is none, by the way. And they knew that. But yet they were coming from their own, from the governor's office, their own thing here too. So I just let it be known. It didn't cost me anything politically. Another situation in Xi Jinping, if you saw the video of the former premier of the communist China was standing up in opposition. Did you see that video? In front of the whole assembly, two men came and tapped him on the shoulder and escorted him out, and he's trying to complain. You can see him sitting right next to Xi Jinping complaining, and he just sits there and smiles and looks straight. You know they took him out. You know he had a re-education like a bullet to
them. Yeah.
I mean, he had a political price for making an opposition. I didn't have to go through that, but just like Daniel and the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery, they were commanded to worship Nebuchadnezzar as God. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do it. And so we all have these things that we'll have to go through, and I see we'll be going through them. Mm-hmm. Don't think we've escaped it at this point. So, but these are all examples of our application that we're trying to read here, and beforehand put the biblical approach to what I think is going to be coming here and what we've just gone through. Here, I'll shut up.
Sure.
If everybody else be bothered, just go to Isaiah chapter 40, and read verses 21 through 31, and I'll say it in one sentence. God wants government to be a deterrence, to stop violence from exceeding only. The government is formed by God for God to use them to keep violence from exceeding. Well, look at your city. Well, our government will look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the government starts interfering, what God says in the Bible, then we have to say, like you said, no and oh.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fighting for it, that's fine. But you have to stand and say, no, this is not God's principle. And we can't go along with it. They are to be a deterrence only. They are not to take over your life with the occurring of telling you how you are to believe in Jesus Christ the Holy Savior. They are not allowed to do that. And thank God for this church. And if we've been to other churches, Jim, I'd love to tell you people, you're holding the line. I've seen other churches decay. No Sunday school, no this, no that. And praise the Lord for the people here that you are holding the line.
Amen.
You are saying no. And God will appreciate that, and He will bless you beyond what you can even possibly imagine.
Hmm. Okay. Good words. Thank you very much. Okay. So the government is to be a deterrent and not to rule your life, based on what you're saying. Okay. All right. And I'm learning all this stuff too, folks. I'm learning with you, and I've said that many times. Well, folks, our time is up, but anybody else have a quick comment before we close?
To continue next Sunday.
To be continued next Sunday. That's right. You know, let's close in prayer. Yeah, we only covered 3 pages today in my notes. And normally we cover, you know, maybe 6, 7, possibly 8, you know. Anyway. No, that's good. And folks, it's good to have these discussions, because a lot of times when you guys are saying things, you're helping me understand what I don't understand up here teaching. And I appreciate your input. I appreciate it very much. I need it. I need your help. So let's close. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. And thank you that, Lord, we help us to take a stand when we need to. Help us to know the difference. And Lord, just help us to, Lord, just to live godly lives. And Lord, to stand up and to try to change things that are wrong and to have them made right. And again, Lord, it seemed like things are headed toward more and more persecution for Christians. And Lord, give us boldness. Lord, help. Give us the strength we need to stand up and not buckle under the pressure. So we're just thankful again for your word. We're thankful for these rules that you're giving us here, how we're to behave ourselves as a citizens. Father, I just pray that you with Pastor Mertens this morning, Lord, as he brings a message. Open our hearts. Lord, speak through him to us. And Lord, help us to apply, to live out the things that you convict us of as he's teaching. And help us, Lord, just to strive to draw closer and closer unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.